Following podcast contains profanity and is unsuitable for a child-friendly or work environment.
Would you like to know more? Would you like to know more?
Welcome to Almost a Podcast, episode 162 with Paul and Barry.
Hello, listeners.
It's been a little while.
How are we doing?
So today's episode is the London LGBTQT plus 2021 wrap-up. Right.
Yeah, like all the LGBT 21 wrap-up. Like, yeah, it's probably its proper title. But yeah, that's what it is.
But it's the LGBT, isn't it? That's why. So I just stuck a couple of letters and an and on the end.
Yeah.
LGBTQT plus. And you're wearing the right shirt for it, which is why
Oh, wow.
Night of the Flowers shirt.
It's nice. I like it, all right?
Hey, man. It shows a man that is assured of his own presence, that he can wear what he wants. I don't care. It doesn't matter, does it?
It doesn't matter. I've got, like, literally got my children sitting on me as we record. If that doesn't show, like, I'm assured, I don't know what does.
Yeah. It didn't help Phillip Schofield, did it?
Wow.
Okay. Anyway, so intro.
It's good to be back.
It's just fails sometimes. You don't need to write these things. Right, so it's been a little while. It's been a little while in the clown land that we live in.
But, why is that, Barry?
It just is what it is, isn't it? It is what it is. The kind of the road, what do they call it? The kind of when you fall in the road rash, innit? Where you kind of fall over and you'll have your face gets taken off. It's just like, death of a thousand cuts.
Yep.
At the moment in Clownland, we've got no fuel, no turkeys for Christmas. All the shops are closing. Situation normal. One in 16 kids has got COVID this week.
When I was driving back from the hospital yesterday, because I'm one of the lucky ones with fuel, there's a lot of traffic on Brimfield Road, of course. And one of the petrol stations had fuel. And I counted about 30 cars queuing up to get that.
When they come and they go, one's going this way, turning left, and everybody else is trying to turn right, and the road's just closed.
Yeah, it's done. It's done.
Is it? Ambulances, forget about it. Buses, forget about it.
On my way to the LGT on the Friday, I passed on a two-lane road, because it was close to it, there was a station opposite, sort of on the other side of the road. It had two pumps, and it had 50 cars in it. Now, they wouldn't all be queuing for it, but there was no way they weren't queuing now, because they couldn't get past. So it was just like, wow.
Well, I didn't go to the LGB. The reason I didn't go is because my brother decided to make an appearance from Boston. I haven't seen him since my sister's 30th birthday, which is about 5 years.
Yeah.
And he was only here for a weekend, and it just happened to fall. I mean, he didn't ask me if it was convenient for me when he came, but he just came. So, and then it turned out I almost didn't make it because I had no bastard fuel.
Really?
And then when I got up there, I had to get more fuel to come back.
Yeah. So was it difficult getting the fuel?
Oh, it was easier up there than down here. I think we're in a particular pinch point in Chelmsford. I don't know what the reason is, but it does seem pretty bad. I am beginning to watch Mad Max and think it wouldn't take that much longer before I was rolling around in a big rig with a harpoon gun and saying, "Witness me," and spraying the silver can like Joe.
So you would want a more modern Mad Max rather than like the classic, like Mel Gibson Mad Max.
Oh, they're all good, but I think the new one did really set a good standard, didn't it?
Yeah. Because in the very first Mad Max, Mel Gibson, it's like it's shortly after like society's gone bad, so there's some kind of law and order.
Well, he is a traffic cop, isn't he?
Yeah. But it's just not very much of it. Yeah, we're left. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the fuel. There must still be quite a lot of fuel because he's driving around in a police car, isn't he?
Yeah, things get worse, basically.
And now, if the fourth one, things are pretty bad.
Yeah.
But pretty good. I mean, life's there for the taking. You can see the future. It'll only take a few more months and we'll be out there.
Yep.
Oh, like everybody's here. Arthur, the King of the Britons.
Yep. Hazel, everybody.
Hazel. So apparently Paul said he was available to record, but he's turned into Daddy Daycare.
I'm available. I'm available. They're about to go. They seem to go upstairs. It'll be fine.
Right. Okay. So what else is happening in the wide world? We're only really talking about the LGB, aren't we? So what did you get up to? Tell the story of the LGBQT thing.
Okay. Weekend that's just gone. Well, this day of the week, it's Friday. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday was the London Grand Tournament. That was the days we were there. And we did a 32 player tournament of Warmaster, and it went pretty damn well, I think. Yeah, not perfect by any means, but you know, I rated it about 9.5 out of 10.
Oh, I mean, you got there's always room for improvement.
Always 9.7,
I mean, it must be nice to get your car back, because Paul's been running around like a gypsy. He's been living out of his car. His car's been rammed to the gills with stuff.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of prize support, which is part of something we're going to go through on this. And yeah, I had nowhere to store it, so it was in the car. Yeah,
I mean, you could tell 4 months pent up frustration, and Paul still can't put the paintbrush down. He can't give it. Yeah, I mean,
this isn't even paint. So like this is really neat. So like I am colouring in on this white artist pen the names of these ships. It's pretty neat. Like night, Arthur. Night. Say goodbye. Hey, good night to my kid. Come here. Oh no, just throw something at me. Like
eat shit. Eat shit, hippie.
Night, Arthur.
God damn you.
Oh, amazing. like,
never work with children animals.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right, so are we finished? Are you going to tell us the sponsors? Read through the sponsors.
I think the second one's coming in. Hang on.
Jesus Christ.
Night, Hazel. Right, cool. So we gathered loads of sponsors. And in no particular order, I'll just run them down the list. So the top table was, the work was done on it by Nick Wakely, which was really cool. We'll be putting out a couple of recordings of the videos and of the top table, and I'll come on to that, talking about that. But yeah, all the scenery there was done by him, which is fantastic. Printing in Detail that's the UK-based printing service with like sculpts of like Forest Dragon and things, and they donated 1,000-point starter army of your choice. So that prize, they could like hit, just engage with them, and you could choose your 1,000 points of stuff that you wanted printed from them. And they also gave a free gift for all. So they gave like an individual character to every player. So I got like 32 packs of them in the mail. Amazing. Cromarty Forge gave a 2,000-point physical dwarf army in metal, from his range, and which was obviously, that's amazing, because you can win like an entire army, as a prize. And they also did objective markers for all, of which I have a paint like summer version here. So one of the things does objectives, and these lovely little thing was a great idea that these were going to be needed, and now every attendee has a pack of them.
Nice.
Excellent miniatures donated, giving a unit of demigryphs, of which I painted mine up for the event, and that's what they look like that. Yeah, so little demigryph knights, which are your alternative empire knights. You could use them. I used them as I put a battle banner onto mine. That's how I'll represent them. Works quite well. And they gave them a unit of that. A unit of that went to everybody. RPG Prince, which has got a dark elf range, and that guy donated a set of characters for every player. Nice. So again, that was another thing that we're all having. Our sponsors, our main sponsors, Kaiser Rushforth for the podcast, donated their standard shoulder bag and 3 half cases, which is fantastic. Trolls Under the Bridge donated a 1,000-point Chaos Army, so a blister of every like blister that they do of their Chaos range.
Nice.
Again, fantastic. Products for Wargamers did a bunch of accessories. So the best one for that was obviously the Warmaster movement. Yo template that we has been like the big L basically.
Yeah, they're good. They're good.
Yeah, a couple of them. Regular miniatures, donated packs from their fantasy ranges of High Elf, Dwarf, Lizardmen and Tomb Kings armies, which, I mean, I put the labels on them as and they would, that was what they would relate to. And they, they were little packs of models. Van Dyke miniatures, donated as a Belgian outfit and donated a Roman army and a German army and they're like starter sets of their armies.
Nice.
Again, yeah, obviously this is all 10 mil. Spellcrow did the towers for all the scenarios. So one of the scenarios was a take the tower. Those towers had to be standardized. They all came from Spellcrow and I got Nick to paint them up. And that was fantastic. Pendraken gave us a barbarian and a dragon men army, their terms of like what they're listed as. That was given out. Leon's work gave a selection of his dark elf range models, which was as an individual prize.
Nice.
Madister Millstrom donated 1,000-point Nippon army. It gave me quite a bit of choice over what I could choose, and I went with 1,000-point Nippon army, which I built and like ordered from them and got. That was our price support. Yeah. So
I mean, the car was bulging. The suspension was struggling.
Yeah. Yeah. So what was really cool was that every player got to take away four things. So Cromarty Forge's little objective markers, printing and details, a model from them, excellent miniatures, a unit of demigryphs, and RPG prints, a selection of dark elf characters. So four little gifts, like which got to go to everybody, which is really cool. Actually, then the way I did the prize support is that I had so much.
You just give everything to the winner. Give everything to the winner.
I gave it all.
You didn't do that again, did you?
No, I didn't. No, but what I did was that I dished it all out is like as in a prize, the element separate prizes, and then starting with the winner, who got to have the like some of the stand like the shield and things, and they and the huge staff that I found for them to have, and then they got to have the first choice of their prize, etc.
You got Saruman's staff back, did you?
And now it's in Sherwin's hands.
Oh, you told me you won now.
Nah, it's okay. It's fine.
We won.
Okay, well, yeah.
God damn it.
Yeah. So yeah,
the end times is here. Sherwin's already won.
Yeah. That was the prize support given out. So thanks ever so much to all of the organizers, all of the people that donated prize of all the various companies. It is really appreciated, and I do hope that your by giving prize support leads to some sales, in the future for you. I really hope so. Going forward, it was great having John from Cromarty Forge there, and I'm going to, if we develop any, as we develop some scenarios with set things, he'll be like the guy I go to like, okay, can you make us a certain thing for the, and can we make it enough so we can get it on every table? That's my plan, basically. Yeah.
Okay. We also need to say here that thank you to Chris, who took up the mantle of videoing the matches.
Yes.
I only briefly looked at it. It looked like he had a single overhead camera.
Yes, he did. Yeah.
He must have had some kind of different rig. He wasn't using a tripod. He must have had a overhead rig or something.
Yes, he did. Yeah. So it was mounted over on like a big frame
N shape,
and the hammer was pointing straight down, and it caught the whole table. Actually, we managed to get it high enough that it caught the whole table.
Okay, good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good. So thanks for he sent it over. It's absolutely enormous, as all video is. I think there's one full game and two thirds of another game.
Yeah, we did. I mean, we were because Chris was playing, so we couldn't like babysit it all the time. And I, was the spare player, so that's what we managed to catch. It would have been great to have got five games, but for what we need it to do, capturing intact two, is fine. Basically, I'm going to go back and do sound on the final game with one of the participants, and we can record that and put it out there. Because obviously the sound is a huge tournament, so you can't really make out what's going on the table. So it needs like commentary to come back and say this is what's happening, this is the scenario they're playing, and this was key moments of this game coming up, etc., etc.
I think the only way you could do it is either mic up the players or find kind of find some way of isolating them from the general noise of the hall. But when you've got 1,000 players in a gigantic hall, the ambient noise level is crazy.
Oh yeah, totally. You can't turn it off. And it, you know, and what the idea is that is then it shows people like, okay, so if I went to Walmart's tournament, what would it look like? And this is me trying to get like that experience out there. This is a table with some really good scenery on it. This is the game being played, you know, at a high standard, hopefully. See if you like it.
Good stuff. So I'm going to edit the video this weekend for the, I think it's game 3. So you'll have to tell me who played in it and what their armies were.
Yep.
And I'll get that out over the weekend. And then game 5, which is the final, which we have 2/3 of, that will take a little bit longer. That might take a week or two because you need to be in person for a few hours with Sherwin to record the re-audio dub.
And we'll record that in one take, and it'll just be a laugh as we go along. It'll be a fun experience for us to record.
Especially
finding out like if Sherwin can remember like particulars of what he's trying to do at the time.
Oh, he's pretty good. He'll know exactly what he was
doing.
One thing about Sherwin is that he doesn't drink, so there's no hangovers. You know what I mean?
Yep.
He's a complete pro. When he's on it, he's on it.
Yep.
Okay, good. So have we got anything else? Are we going into the event now? Have you got recorded stuff to talk about in the rounds, yeah?
What do you mean?
Like the notes you made round to round, so you could talk about scenarios.
Sure. I thought you'd be like asking me, like quizzing me like it was an interview. I can do whatever you like.
Well, if it was an interview, I'd be fucking bollocking you for not paying attention and painting whatever you're doing down there.
All right, whatever.
Two of you together, that's fine. But what if one of you is the monster?
Monster? We're British, you know.
Okay, so now we're going to go through the event round to round. So it's Saturday morning, I've turned up. I'm a complete green skin.
Yeah, yeah.
Not green skin, is it? It's not a newbie. I turn up to the event. What happens to me? How do I get paired up? What's the first round?
Yeah. I mean, so I'd checked the lists beforehand, and that's one of the beauties of Warmaster is list checking is thankfully so simple because everyone can use the same app and it'll tell you if it's illegal or not. I would ask for lists, I suppose. I should ask, but I didn't have to actually correct anybody's list, which was nice. And then everybody was drawn randomly out of a hat. There was some grudges. There was four people wanted to do a grudge. So like there was two games were grudges. And that was two new players who wanted to make sure they were comfortable with the rules. And Jim played Janners as well.
Jim always goes for Janners.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm yet to see him beat Janners.
But
I mean, you've got to be the man or whatever.
Literally. So I had what I'd done is,
you'd think eventually Janice's fist would get worn out from hitting Jim's chin, wouldn't you? But
one day, so I put those two on top table, so I put them onto the camera, just to see, like, as in that would be, a good standard of game. And you might well see one of them again, etc., in like later rounds.
That would have been a good game to record because they do play quick.
We did try.
I mean, next year, hopefully, we'll have a booth, which was the plan all along, was to have a booth and like kind of not rely too much on the table audio and kind of have like audio talking over the table audio.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's like me
and you talking over the audio. But hey. Life wasn't to be this year.
It's fine. It's not a drama. I did the first because I had so many people who were, it was their first like proper tournament of no, it was their first tournament playing Warmaster. So I came up with a thing of like for my own amusement, like instead of labeling everybody as by their surname, I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to give them a title. Because you realize like a lot of the regular players have nicknames anyway. In the very spirit of like medieval Game of Thrones, I was like, right, I'm going to give everybody a title and that's how they'll be known. And if they have the title of Squire, then that means it's their first tournament, basically. And then I knew that I would give a prize out to the top rated squire. So the person that was their first War Master tournament, whoever did the best of those people, if they hadn't already got a prize, would get a prize, you know, early on. From, because I was worked out in my head how I was going to do the, you know, the prize giving in itself. Okay. But round one I did is pitch battle, just to make sure that, you know, not to trouble people with a scenario, although pitch battle obviously is a scenario, and yeah, just ease people into the event.
And all special rules in use, everything.
Everything.
Get it all in there.
Get it all in there. Get it.
Light cavalry rules. Get in there. All of it.
All of it.
Come on, come all.
Yep, exactly. One in, one all. You know, and the issue, obviously, I was then used. Was I using a spare player for that round? Yes, I was. Yeah. So I played on the bottom table against a high elf player. You know, and that was, yeah. I was busy then. I didn't stop my clock, but I did all the rules questions on my clock. You know, that I had to like go off and answer.
Challenge. You know? I like it. So yeah. What list were you playing? Some Empire list.
So I realized I did myself out that I should have. Like painted up the Skaven, and I should have taken them because they were an army that wasn't represented at all. You know, and I was like, oh, bollocks. I even had a Skaven t-shirt on. I should have been using that army. You know, like, what am I doing? Like, I know I can't win with them, but that's also the point of, you can't win your own event, can you?
Well, and if it, you know, it's bad form.
It's bad form. And it's like, and if I'm playing in the event, then I, you know, I'll be paired up. I won't always be bottom table. So I took it. So what I did take was an Empire list, you know, a fairly standard thing, quite magic item heavy, because I wanted to represent a unit of demigryphs, and I wanted to represent a unit of great swords in there, because I had, you know, they're like different sculpts for them. And yeah, it was all
right. Great swords.
Great swords.
Still got no shoes on.
those ones do actually. They look like professional soldiers.
But they're, yeah, still armor six up, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Still how it is.
Yeah, still how it is with a magic sword or something.
I gave him a sword of destruction, which means that the enemy rerolls one passed save. Yeah. So 10 points is one. It's basically, it's not Sword of Might, because Sword of Might was held on the Griffin character. So yeah. you can't have the same magic item twice, and that kind of, I guess that fits them better as well as anything else. Anyway, that's what I like to do. But I'd been drawn to Empire because there was some prize, you know, part of the prize support was a unit of demigryphs for everybody. So I wanted to make sure I had a unit painted up of them, and two, no one could accuse me of like taking a fantastic army when Empire are literally middle of the road. You know, I would say they are the middle of the road, aren't they? I've never seen anyone win a tournament with Empire.
Yeah. You wouldn't want to play them without cannons, that's for sure.
No, exactly. Well, I wasn't going to be that crazy. You know, like, I had a cool first game, you know, with David was his name, and playing against his high elves. And he was a squire, so it was his first War Master tournament. And it was cool. It was like,
who won?
Well, I won. You know, like, okay. You know, but you know, I managed to get my game done properly. And I, despite me having to break to go answer rules questions, etc. Yeah, and it's like, and give David a decent, you know, like, game as well in terms of my attention, like, at the table.
So do you have the results from round one, or is that asking too much?
Oh no, it's asking too much. Yeah, like, I mean, I mean,
you obviously had them on the day, because it would have been impossible to work out. Well, not the winner, but the minor places.
Actually, no, tell a lie. I do have. Do I have the actual result? I know who played who, but I don't. I have all of the results now.
Well, who won out of Janice and Jim?
Janice won.
And Janice was playing Chaos. I find out. Yeah. I find that, because the only thing I know about the whole tournament is coming that Chris Orr told me something that happened in round two, and it was such a shock that he texted me.
A couple of times. Yeah, exactly.
To say, wow, this has happened.
Yeah, yeah.
The Earth is ending. The cheese grenade has been launched at the moon. Climate change is real. Yeah, and exactly. So, Janna's lost to Goblins.
Yeah, well, say, so let's we'll skip forward. So basically, round one was pitch battle. And, you know, and it was all, yeah, aside from the two grudges, it was all completely random. You know, so go. I don't remember there being any surprise results like in that round one. In round two, I did it as traitors. You know,
mean.
As in, that was what was rolled up. Yeah, that was what was rolled up. And I did get some lovely, tearful stories about some units that had turned traitor. And I was
my
like,
Chaos Knights turned glory, on me and at me.
Yes, the gloriousness of it all was fantastic. I was like,
my Rhinox Riders. I love all that. 220 points.
I love all that. Well, no, they didn't happen. But like, yeah, like, it was good. I enjoyed listening. Most of the time, though, any units, any stories of where the units had turned traitor had been early on in the game, when a brigade had its, you know, then had to split up, and then that unit then proceeded to get destroyed very quickly. You know, so it, I don't, then no one came back to me with a terror story of like.
But it's like, it's like the ultimate raised dead spell, because you not only do you have to kill it, you have to lose your, you have to damage yourself killing it, and it, it can actually be quite good. It's not skeletons with two attacks. This could be actually good shit.
It can, exactly.
Mean, sir, mean.
So anyway, I put that. So the strength of schedule was decided by tournament points, which was like, you know, this, the points you gain out of a, you know, of a type of win.
I think so, your system is based on 10, so you get 10 is the most.
Yeah, 10 is the max. Yeah. So, and then when there's more than one of those examples, obviously I just like then did it random of like who would get paired up with who. So in round two on traitors, on the top table was Ian, the YouTube influencer, playing her with his Dogs of War.
Ian versus, Standing.
Yeah, yep. That's his title. Versus Connor, the Squire. So obviously that was his first tournament, and he was using Goblins.
Gobobolins.
Gobobolins.
Hey, Gobobolins have got a bit of a thing going on now. Now is everybody in the Gobobolin camp?
There were three players. Using
three Gobobolins!
No, I know. I know.
So maybe everybody's coming from 40K, just like gunline armies. Just, here is my gunline. God damn you.
Yo, I mean, like, goblins obviously work quite well in a traitor scenario, because what does it matter? Like, you know, like, to anything.
You might lose the troll. That would be
well,
bad.
I suppose.
He'd eat all the goblins, wouldn't he?
I suppose. I mean, that would be. But aside from that, there's not really much, like, that matters if it turns out traitor.
Not really.
You know, so that went on camera, and the goblins won it.
What was Ian playing? Like
Dogs of War. Dogs of War.
Oh yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, they're definitely going to struggle with the range game against Gobobolins.
Yeah, it was, and I think also he came, Ian came up running out of time as well. I think as well. So a big thing there, and this was quite a bit of talk about clocks. As everyone's like agreed that clocks need to be there, but it is like it's the if your opponent's got a really huge army, it's can you get through it in time? Like on the clock,
but that's always an issue with clock-based games, because you have to factor in your army list and your clock.
Yeah, exactly.
Elite armies move less. Defensive armies move less. Big horde armies, aggressive horde armies, they move a lot. They attack a lot. It's all on your clock.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So,
but the only alternative is like soft clock, hard clock, soft clock. You've got to have our clock.
Mean, and there's been a lot. I mean, you're part of this WhatsApp group as well. Like,
for am I?
Yeah, you are. I've added you into it. Like, of the LG22, and there's a lot of chat back and forth about like alternative, as in amendments you can make to the clock. But ultimately, if you have a clock system, because it's Warmaster, if you finish the turn, like say you ran out of time, and then you're going to finish that turn. Well, the person who's run out of time is going to lose anyway, isn't it? Almost always in those situations. They certainly don't need to even up in terms of turns. You know, I don't know. It's something, the thing that you could do the fighting on clock as in terms of I'm rolling my dice on my clock, I flip it to you to roll your
That's
dice.
That's not possible. Somebody's going to make a mistake and the clock's going to be in the wrong clock.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's where it's too much. And
the Triwiz way is to have softish clock, where when you run out of clock, you don't die, but you don't ever get to do anything again.
Yeah, but
that's even worse. Kill me now.
Yeah, it's a loss, isn't it?
I'm just waiting here to die.
Yeah, you have lost. Like, there's no turn limit. You know, and I don't want to have like a turn limit, because I'd rather have a clock system. Yeah.
No system is perfect. Yeah, that is the truth.
Yeah, exactly. Going forward, we put so because we needed to want to make sure we had enough time to get to the curry, etc.
Hang on, you didn't talk about the main event in round two.
The fight, the top table.
No, oh, yeah, sorry, Janna's lost. Yeah.
So Janna's.
Janna's the man that never loses.
Yeah,
lost.
So Janna's was playing on table two, and he played a Chaos Army into Declan's Goblin Army, and Declan won.
Declan is a good player. He's quite defensive minded. He plays very defensively with Empire. Yeah, and I've had some. He's possibly the most unlucky player I've ever come across in that.
Oh, okay.
Two or three times I've played him and should have lost and actually won for some reason, just because, I don't know, the dice gods hate him. Yeah. But he's played better than me, his army's worked better than me, and he still lost.
Yeah.
But I guess, this time it didn't. He's quite good with defensive armies. A bit like Ian's good with defensive armies. Ian's standing.
Yeah. So that was a bit of a shocker because it was just like, oh, right, okay, it's round two. The man that everyone expects to, like, at least to be in the final is not. It's like, yeah, it was really interesting. and especially, like, to lose, like, to a Goblin Army is like, I mean, you could say that when you looked at the respective lists, was it a bad matchup? I suppose. But
I don't know, what was his list? Can we talk about Janice's list?
I haven't got it to hand, but
you'd have seen it. It had
quite a few chariots in it.
Okay, so it's a chaos list, but it's going chariots.
Chariot heavy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you could maybe have six lots of chariots because they're only 90, 95, aren't they? 95.
So for round three, I was like, okay, we need to make sure that we get out in a reasonable time. So I did that as meeting engagement because that should get quick results in, like depending on the situation. So that's the scenario. I then wasn't playing from round two because one of the players had to drop out for a medical reason. So I was not playing a game, but I still had plenty of other things I had to do, answering more and more rules questions.
Especially in the traitors game.
The mating engagement splits up your deployment into six quadrants, and it's personally my favorite scenario, actually. And that it was getting some quick results. There was some games that took hour and a half to get done because somebody come up on a good advantage and then managed to push it.
This game either goes really quickly or goes to time, I find. Because once you both stabilize, the game can get quite grindy.
You're both going to end up split up, almost guaranteed. And if you can, then it's a case of who can reform their formations, I guess, the best first. And then you can push. And you should push an advantage. Like, the point is, like, if a smaller part of your opponent's army is unsupported, you should go after it. That's the point of the scenario. It went quite well, like, as in most of those games were finishing quite quickly. I managed to get a lot of the players who were attending the curry, of which there was about 24, got to get away early, as in before the last game had finished, to go and sort themselves out and get over to Wood Green, which is only 3.5 miles away or something like that, great, or 5.5 miles away from Lee Valley. But it takes at least half an hour to get across London. Next time we'll choose somewhere probably better, I think.
So any outstanding results from game round three?
Nothing too amazing, as I recall. Nick Wakely was on the top table for that one, as I remember. But who was he playing? I can't remember.
Nick was playing Undead,
Nick was playing his Tomb Kings,
And Sherwin's Cathay, because he ordered some special bases for me for Cathay. Six unit bases rather than the four. For brigades, sorry. Six unit brigade bases.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So, Curry Night.
So the Curry Night was cool. So we RV'd at this curry house in Wood, a curry shop in Wood Green, and we had about 24 person booking. I did delay the booking to 8:15 from 7:30 just to fit, give people more the time to get there. And Yeah, it
was all right. Could they cope with a table?
They did all right. They did. What they did is they split us all into like groups of five, right, and dealt with us kind of separately, basically. But they put all those tables together. I seem to end up on the table with the slowest waiter. But you know, we were there, and it's like there was no rush for anything. Oh, it was fine, to be honest. Okay. The food was not too expensive, and I'm no connoisseur of it, but it was fine for me. And I just enjoyed having it. To be honest, I was like, once I got there, and I had, because I'd been pretty full on all day, you know, and I'd done the setup on the Friday and recce'd this place in Friday afternoon, evening, to make sure I knew where it was and easy to find and where the hotel was and where the first pub would be. It's just like when I got that beer in my hand, I was like, thank God, right, chill, you know, like, whew, right, everything so far so good, you know. And yeah, I just, and my, obviously, what do geeks talk about when there's beer and they're around other geeks is geek stuff, you know. And it was mostly a dinner spent chatting over various game systems. Nice. You know, yeah, it was quite cool.
Geeks and beer. What more could you want?
Geeks and beer. I had Steve sitting next to me on my left, and you know, a couple of other new faces on my table and to right, and then Dave last was on that table, and we chatted quite a bit about Epic Armageddon, and you know, like, because you know, Dave last plays that and I play that, and Steve was interested, so it was a lot of chat about like how cool Epic Armageddon can be. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, mm-hmm. You'd rather play that than the Crackers game, the 28mm version.
Well, sure. I mean, I heard some horror story about like from the 40K. So that, you know, we're on the raised balcony and we're looking down, overlooking all of it, you know, and there's 600 something players playing this 40K.
800.
Or whatever it was. A lot of people, like, as in, like, nothing else matters but them.
800 people played a game that you couldn't call a tournament game unless you were mad.
Anyway, so this story I heard was that, I've got two things to tell. I've got things to tell, but the 40K one was that there was somebody, so the tables are like set scenery, like in terms of, I think with 40K in tournaments, you have like set layouts of scenery to try to make some standards.
Well, everything's got to be gigantuan, like it's got to be like shoebox size,
yeah,
because
yeah,
it's got a block line of sight, so it's not worth having.
Now, like, you know, a number of years ago, like the quality of the 40K scenery wasn't great, and Zach, the organizer, got a lot of flack for that. Now, but so he's made that his strong point, and the quality of the 40K scenery, I think, is fine. Like, is in terms of like you look at it, it's great. I think it's like it's doing its job. It looks, you know, it's all standardized. It's all every table is it goes up and down, you know. And it's got avenues basically of scenery, blocks, avenues, etc. And some guy, so one of these lists had like loads of flyers in it, as you'd expect, it's 40K, but you cut in the rules, apparently you can't move underneath the flyers. Like, they physically, even though they're space planes, they block the space on the table. Roll off to see who goes first. Guy with the plane goes with planes go first, moves those planes to block off all the avenues, and runs his guys forward to interact with the objectives and score on the system. And it's almost like an auto win, because the other player physically can't get through these planes to get to interact with the objectives, has got to kill these planes, which he's teched out to be very difficult to kill. And that's kind of it, basically, is in like they spend about three turns chewing their way through some of these planes to get forward up the table. By that, the game's over. You know, and it's like, and it was just like, what? Who enjoys that? Who, like
the guy that finds the exploit?
The guy that did they really enjoy that?
Because they win the tournament, and they're like,
well, I can't speak. I don't know who won it.
That's the plan, isn't it? To win the tournament by exploiting a rule, I guess.
Yeah, I suppose. Does it? Anyway, yeah. You know, I just felt like, well, the person losing doesn't have any fun, and surely the person pushing that thing around doesn't have any fun. No?
I don't know.
No?
Different strokes rule the world. Yeah. I mean, some people get their kicks in different ways.
But I tell you what, you cannot deny the numbers. You know, it is impressive to see that many people playing a system, of which I'm told only the Las Vegas Open is bigger, and Zach's like, it's on the cards for them to get it bigger. Like, yeah, as in to be bigger. So, Anyway, yeah, so Curry has had And you know, then there's some drinks on the table afterwards, and then I say, right, okay, like, who wants to go to the pub? There's an Irish bar directly opposite the opposite on the road, but just five of us carry on to the pub from that original bunch, and we go over to this Irish bar, and there's the
people aren't worried about winning generally.
And me,
Well, you're not winning, are you?
No. But Declan was there. He was undefeated at the time, so yeah.
Oh, he probably was undefeated Sunday morning.
I bet
Janice wasn't there and Sherwin.
but we get into this Irish bar, and on the TV is the 11th round of the Anthony Joshua fight going on, and it is just like, yeah, everybody in this pub looks fairly rough. there's a lot of leather jackets in here. But it was cool. It's just like, embrace it. We did, no one squared up to us, and it was cool. And then afterwards, we went to two other places for a drink. One place we were like, that's way too noisy, and we ended up drinking in the Wetherspoons. Me, Ian, and Nick, we're all drinking in Wetherspoons. And I had one of these nights where, maybe it's the responsibility, but I had like an iron liver. Like, I was not getting drunk. Like, I'm a lightweight. Two nights before the LGT, I'd been out on a work night do and got completely smashed. So I was drinking beer, and it just wasn't
working.
I was enjoying it, but I wasn't getting drunk. It was weird.
You know, the next day rather than on the night, were you rough the next day?
Well, yeah, as rough as I ever get, really.
Good for you. Right. Let's get on to the Sunday.
Yeah, it's a Sunday. So that leaves the take and hold as the scenario that was rolled up for game four, which is four objectives that you're like chasing after. And who was on the top table for that? I'm trying to recall it.
So did you say the top table had Nick on it for game three? So the one I've got the whole audio is Nick.
Yes, I think so. And so obviously I can remember who was in the final, Nick wasn't on table three. He was on table four. He did round four and five on the top table. That was it. No, it wasn't. No, it was round three and four was Nick. I'm just remembering who the final was.
I'll see when I look into it.
It's fine. Anyway, it was taken hold. And people were quite happy with that tonight. I mean, I'd adjusted the scoring of that. You could start scoring from turn one, but the scoring was minimalized. So it would, people were like, oh, but he scored and I haven't reacted yet. And it's like, yeah, but he scored a point, then come out and fight.
Goddamn, game's over. I lost a point.
Yeah, but it's like out of 10, isn't it? So it doesn't matter. Like, only a win matters. It doesn't matter how many points your opponent scores. It's what you do. So I got nagged enough in that one for it to be changed in the future to second player, second turn.
I think it was second player, second turn.
It was, but then I adjusted the scoring of it, but you test and adjust off your clients.
I think it'd be quite difficult to score 10 points.
Going
second place, second turn, because you're probably broken before you got to 10 points.
I would think so too, that's what the people want, so that's what the people get.
Because most games don't go beyond four or five turns, they go really long.
Not really.
Okay, so where are we? Final time?
So the last four was Paul, the man who would be king. He's using orcs and goblins.
Still using orcs and goblins. You've got to respect the man. He won with elves.
Connor the Squire using goblins. Nick Wakely using tomb kings. Sherwin using Cathay.
Out of those, you've got to say tomb kings and Cathay are probably the best armies on paper.
They are. But none of them.
But they're not fighting on paper, though. They're fighting on like.
None of them are tier one. None of them tier one.
I think Tomb Kings are quite good. And I think nobody knows about Cathay. They could be anything.
All right. Anyway, so that was the four players, and that was the four armies going undefeated into round four. And the Sherwin wasn't on the top table, and I'm just working this out. He must have played Connor. That's right. Connor the Squire. And Paul, the man who would be king, played Nick's Tomb Kings. Done.
Okay.
So that led the final was the final. Obviously, the last scenario was take the tower, central tower, and that was Sherwin's using Cathay versus Paul the Man, who would be king, using Orcs and Goblins.
Wow. Yeah. It's a nice dust up for Orcs and Goblins as well. Get in
not
there, man.
What I mean, Paul, I could have expected to, he was going to win probably three or four of his games. But like Orcs and Goblins is hardly like the great army, is it? You know, and Sherwin's Cathay is a bit of an unknown. I mean, Sherwin, I think this is a case of, it isn't that the army's overpowered. It's like Sherwin is good.
Yeah, Sherwin is good. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. No, it doesn't really say anything about Cathay yet.
But
because I mean, Goblins were in the top four as well.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and that would be the counterpoint to anybody who's saying, "Oh, I don't know, something's not tested enough or whatever." It's like, look, Goblins were undefeated round
four. Orcs and Goblins were in the final.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, Orcs and Goblins were in the final. Like, what the hell? You know, and they, I mean, I had picked up a game from the guy that had dropped out and, you know, had come back and was after, like, yeah, was after a nice, cool intro, you know, teaching game. I was happy to do that. So I didn't see much of the final going on, apart from, like, set up to record. They had one or two rules questions, which you'll probably see on camera, you know, like, when I had to come in and make a decision on, you know, and that, yeah, and they played out their final, but Sherwin won.
Okay. It was a bit of a spoiler. Well done, Sherwin. The Sherwinator, as they used to call him.
So I've got the final results here. So, like, Sherwin obviously did five wins, and he had 49 tournament points. So literally
one point off, max.
Faultless. Yeah. Paul, now I like to put that as first and second. So I don't like strength of schedule screwing the guy who came second.
You normally finish like fourth when you lose in the final.
I don't like that as a thing. So that in my tournaments, I don't let that happen. Yeah, so obviously we put Paul the Man Who Would Be King, giving four wins and 31 tournament points, because he'd actually killed a general in one of the earlier rounds and that had allowed him to win, but it didn't get him a high score.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, so Janna's ended up coming third. Janna's the goat, with four wins and 44 tournament points.
So you only lost the one game to Paul?
To Declan.
Yeah,
Declan. Declan, the little-fingered goat killer. You know, like, okay, had four wins and 40 points. And then Steve, the squire, so our top-ranked first player, came fifth. So first tournament player came fifth with Goblins as well. And four wins and 34 points. And then it goes on and on and on and on and on. Yeah, and Connor as well. What was Connor using? Wood Elves, I think. Yeah, and he had four wins and 32 points.
Okay, so he beat Nick then in that
second table game. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So then it rolls on down and down and repeat.
So hopefully you've given Jim all the information he needs to process results, and because he would have liked all the data. Hopefully he's got the data, even if you don't have it.
I think so. Yeah, and but we switched to, because I was doing my, I'm no Excel obviously expert at all. So I was doing.
I'm not computer nerd. Let the nerds do it.
Well, it's one of the things I didn't have prepared. Yeah, like and then we switched to this running totals that Jim set up, which was a lot better for a lot quicker. You know, to keep tournament results, because you just tap in, you know, okay, you've got another win and that many points. But so I stopped tracking the who played who, you know, from the later rounds, because it just needed this.
Okay.
You know? Yeah. But ultimately, yeah, it's not great, I suppose, in terms of like everything, but like I was running the event, I was playing in the event at times, I was answering the rules questions, I was making everything go.
You were singing the theme tune, you were playing the theme tune, you've written the theme tune.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like Minder, like Dennis Waterman in Minder.
It's like, and like with Chris and the recording, like he'd stepped up to do the recording and he was playing, so he couldn't manage. Like, you know, we found out the flaws of our recording in the earlier games, because like the computer would switch itself off and it's like, you know, and you're like, oh shit, you know, like, you know, it's
like screensavers, come on, damn it.
Oh, damn it. Yeah, it's like, but it's like, it's not an easy feature to like turn off, apparently. Anyway, it's like you would have someone doing that, you know. So going forward, Yeah, we've already confirmed that we'll do a 64-man event.
Wow, that could beat the Scottish boys, 64, because I think they were, I can't remember what it was. It was more than 32, because you had 30, didn't you, in the end?
No. Well, I think we're on par. I think, we would say we're on par with the Scottish event. And about 64 will be bigger.
That'd be the biggest event since 2001 or something, probably.
Who knows? Yeah, but, and that is going to be the 1st and 2nd of October 2022. It's already
that's a good weekend to pick. That's my daughter's 18th birthday, so it doesn't matter, it is what it is. I could probably tell you I'm not going to that one either, but I mean, Warmaster, as important as it is, I'm sure the 40k is where he's real.
Well, yeah, no,
it
was the date of it was going to be an April date, but then obviously GW have announced when they've got an April date of 40k.
Wow. So
he's moved it to this October date because it's he's got to cater for his masses, hasn't he?
And
quite right he should, because it's like that. The others don't matter compared to him. So
How do you actually work out who won an 800 player tournament in five rounds or whatever they play?
I don't know. I mean, like
six rounds.
There'd be some way, but I don't know.
You'd have you could have as many as 30 players undefeated or more.
And then there's scales of. I think it's down then on scales of victory. I don't know.
Whatever. Good luck to them.
I think what they're going to do next time, or if they were doing this time, is that there's a cutoff point, and then those top players get moved to a knockout competition. But I don't know how they physically play all these games. When do they find the time, to get those games done?
I think they played. Maybe they played four on the Saturday.
Maybe they must have done. I mean,
they must have done.
I did hear that there was no downtime between
miserable, like, snap, man. Snap, come snap. On.
Yeah. So next time we'll be up above again. And I've asked Zach, can you put us at one of the ends, please? Because those ends were noticeably quieter, than the middle where we were. And Zach will do that because we give him.
So how many rounds? You're going to have to stretch. You can't really six rounds. So you'll have to do three rounds on Sunday.
Yeah. Okay. So if you sell above a certain number, so if you start getting more people interested above 32 players, that means it's a sixth round. That will cap at 64, and then beyond that is to be hard to because
no. You're getting into the 40. That's what I was saying about when you have 800 players, you need so many rounds, it's just impossible because you'd have to play over 4 days or something.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, that's good. Well done, sir. Well done. It was 32 players is no mean feat.
No, the
prize support was no mean feat.
No, Jesus Christ. Yeah, no, exactly. I mean,
who won the random newbie army? Because you were bigging that one up. You were saying, turn up, lose all your games.
Steve picked that and he... I remember, so that was still available when he was choosing his prize. So I did first, second, third, and then top squire. And, he picked that. So there you go. He walked away with that.
I thought you were... Oh, was that the random army? I thought there was a random army for just anybody. Was that
Jim brought a painted undead army. There was, ghost army.
A Jim-painted army?
Yeah, and we did that for... The Gert Hansen Sportsmanship Prize. So he gave out at the start of the second day, he gave everyone tickets and he's like, right, write down your favourite sportsman.
Isn't it?
Who? What?
It's you.
No. And
win that award.
Yeah, well, I couldn't. Yeah. That was between Justin and Tony, and they had a public roll off to winner got the prize. And it was lovely. It was a lovely moment.
They are brilliant. Justin and Tony are both brilliant. Tony and Paul do a podcast, don't they? About as opposite poles as me and you. I would never win a most sportsman, and I'm sure Paul would never win a most sportsman.
Yeah, well, it's like stars make matches, don't they?
So who won it? Who won it? Out of the two
Justin
sports?
Won the roll-off.
Justin, lovely fella.
Yeah, and because I had failed to do enough to get look at everything for a painting prize, because
Just give it to Justin, unless I said
it probably would have gone to Justin. But there was a guy called Alessio there. Who remember his stuff looked amazing as well. And then you got Matthew Street, and his stuff's always.
Oh yeah,
so
yeah
like,
oh,
okay. and it is just like shit, man. You know, like yeah, there's some good stuff here. So it's like, but I'm sorry, there wasn't a best painted award. You know, there should have been, but yeah, I just ran out of time, and resources.
You're only a man.
Yeah, I mean, and that's why it wasn't. That's why I gave myself a 9.5 out of 10.
9.7, I gave it, but 9.95.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good stuff, Paul. And we've kept it to time, so everybody's happy. Everybody's a winner.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Next episode, we've got to finish off the Wood Elves, fella. I dread saying it. Is that the last one, or have we got Chaos Dwarfs, or is it just Wood Elves now?
I don't know off the top of my head, but I have played against Wood Elves now. I played against them on the Friday. As a casual game. So, yeah, cool. I'll talk about what else. Go on, Cam. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Come on, come all. Well done, fella. Mm-hmm. And, let's hope 64 next year for you.
If you're interested, make it known somehow. Like, what really worked well for admining this event was a WhatsApp group. Yeah, which was just the easy. It seems everyone's on WhatsApp. It was just the easiest way to do it. And I then changed the name of that to the next event, and it's added already some more people in. And it's like, so theoretically, if everybody's interested, like in this WhatsApp group, as in there's actually going to the event, which is the group's part, that's 46 already. Okay. Yeah. So
I'm pretty sure that WhatsApp group said something about April.
It did originally.
Oh right, yeah,
like,
okay.
Because that was the original date.
Right, you know, so like, I didn't know the date had moved.
Yeah, but the date is now, you know, has gone well out of all of our hands to the 1st and 2nd of October.
Okie dokie. Oh, mm-hmm. That's life. Right, okay, so that was Warmaster Podcast episode 162 with Paul and Barry.
Yeah, cool.
We'll be back in a week or so, and you should see some YouTube videos featuring some footage and some talking from Paul and the tournament winner, Sherwin.
Yeah, that should be quite cool, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cheers, Paul. Thanks for that.
Okay.
Would you like to know more?